We'll be opening with the use of hymn number 352. 352, wait, let me check that. Yep, 352.
Oh.
we've asked Brother Steve Mangos to come up and lead us in prayer.
Our kind and loving Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy most holy name. Dear Father, we're bowing our heads before thee, thankful for this convention and the efforts of the brethren in San Diego. And we ask your blessing on this hour of testimony, and that you bless those who are sharing with us their experiences and various aspects of their walk. And we ask your blessing on all those who would have liked to have been here and were not able for various reasons, and all of your children walking the narrow way the world over. We ask forgiveness where we fall short in thy service, and we ask that we may internalize the lessons that we learn here, that we may be not merely acceptable but pleasing to thee. We ask for the full establishment of thy kingdom, and forgiveness where we fall short. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Judging, brethren, by the level of conversation during the break, I know that you all have a lot to say. And so we will immediately turn the meeting over to Brother David because it is a brief meeting. Brother David.
Thank you, Brother Brad, and thank you, Brother Steve. It is a short meeting. We just have 45 minutes, so I'm going to keep my comments as brief as possible. We have a mic that's going around. Brother John in the back is going to carry a mic around to you. And so just raise your hand, and we want you to state your name and the ecclesia that you attend. And so this testimony time period is yours. You know, we've had a rich storehouse of truth that's been brought to us by the various speakers, and so we've all had some rich blessings, and I know that in each of your lives you have experiences and so forth, perhaps some witnessing opportunities, perhaps a special blessing of some sort that you'd like to bring. You know, we're all in the race, but we all have to develop our character. So there's trials and so forth that you may be going through. Perhaps you'd like to bring us some of those in our effort to develop our character. So perhaps there's something that's touched you. I know there's many of us that are going through some difficult illnesses, loss of loved ones. Some of our trials are not so easy. So all these experiences that we go through are for our ultimate good. And so I'll open up the testimony meeting for your testimonies. Who'd like to be first? Brother David.
Oh, Brother David and your friends, I just recently, we've had plans for, some, this is about public witness. This is about Brother Gilbert and his witness activities abroad. And I was stimulated this because Brother Jim showed me his convention program from Dunkwa, Ghana, which is going on contemporary with this convention. And but I got a letter yesterday in response to a mailing we had done to some thousands of names that Brother Gilbert had left from his activity. And this letter came from Nigeria. It's from a person that I never met. Although his name seems a little familiar, as though perhaps maybe I've had some correspondence before, I don't know. But it was just one of those letters that was worded so elegantly. And frequently the English from abroad is you know, basic, but this was elegant. And it turns out to be a 92 or 96-year-old gentleman who apparently had considerable correspondence with my father. He didn't know that my father had passed away. He does realize he hadn't gotten anything from the last two or three years. But it was a letter describing the letters that Brother Gilbert used to write to him, how he would send him tracts, and then he would explain in great deal to whom he should give those tracts, to what kind of people, what he should say. And he said he wrote me very elegant letters about exactly how to conduct, you know, the distribution. And he was a little amused by them. But he's reflecting the same kind of language that my father would have used. And I just thought, you know, in Ghana, this convention that's beginning now, largely is the fruit of a contact that was made with Brother Hilarion Hayford in Ghana, who was in his 90s when he passed away. And for some years, Joe Dolan had nourished this interest that my father had established, and he didn't seem to get much interest. But he kept talking to people about the truth, kept talking, and finally a few had a little interest, and one day he went to the Nigerian General Convention, and he brought a friend with him, and then others began to know about the brethren in Ghana, and other people, Brother Homer, began to go there, and pretty soon the work blossomed, and now you've got a convention there going on same time as this. But it was started by an aged brother who appreciated the truth, who was elegant of mind, and was persistent with it. And that's what this letter that I just got from this person reminded me of. And the features of the truth clearly have lodged in his mind with a great appreciation. Think about the talk that Brother Peter gave today and all of the many, many testimony, the network of Scripture, that really shows how positive is our faith in the plan of the ages that God has formed. And the question at the end of his talk, you know, was so fitting. Why doesn't everybody see this? Why doesn't everybody grasp this? And I think to some extent it's largely because there just isn't that burning interest. But when you find a heart who has that interest and has that appreciation, it just comes home with great appreciation. So I just share that little gem, that little feedback I had from Africa. And I hope you keep an interest in your prayers for the brethren that are currently in convention in Africa, that are nourishing a little flock there. There are probably, I'm guessing, 25 or 30 brethren perhaps at that convention.
Thank you, Brother David, for that testimony. I'm assuming you're still in the San Diego class. You didn't mention what class you were in. But you never know, you know, all the little witness work that we do, where it might end up, or the results might be, and so but there's when you do find a gem, there's a warmthness there. There's a warm, it really warms your heart. So thank you, Brother Austin.
Since you mentioned my first name, last name is Williams, from the New York City Ecclesia, New York Ecclesia. Brethren, as Brother David was talking about, I couldn't help but to stand up and testify. I met this brother, Brother Hilarion Hayford, when he was 92. Coming from Ghana to Nigeria at the convention, he had to pass through two countries, Benin and Togo, and they both put him in jail, took all his money. And he didn't have a passport either, so he hitchhiked. At the age of 92, imagine hitchhiking to the convention, brethren. He was supposed to be at the convention when it began on a Saturday. He came on Tuesday. He was all frazzled, of course, he's very tired, nevertheless. But I had a wonderful fellowship with him, and I began to know him, and what a wonderful testimony it was. And I'll tell you, share just in brief. And Brother Gilbert Rice went to Ghana. I don't know how he did it. And Brother David also went to Pakistan without knowing anybody. I don't know how they do it. He's walking on the street, and Brother Hilarion Hayford happened to open his door. Brother Gilbert Rice turns back and says, "I need you." What are the chances? Think about it. What are the chances? And when Brother Joe Dolan wrote to him about 18 years ago, it was 1998 when I met him, 15 years ago is when he wrote to him, and Brother Joe Dolan sent him a hymn book. And when he received that in the mail, he opened the hymn book, and those two hymns which was opened was his manna text for the next 15 years. And it's wonderful to, and he shared it with us as to how he came to the knowledge of the truth. After many years of persuasion, he finally gave up on his church. As he was walking by, he found a wind blowing the last page of the Dawn magazine. And that's when he wrote. And the rest is history, of course, because I'll be richly blessed. I'll be with them. I'll be with his family this January in Ghana. And we are having a seminar. And Bob Goodwin will be there also. Brother Lee Hicks will be there. Brother Homer. Brethren, I just wanted to testify in terms of giving you perspective. This past winter in New York, I was shoveling the snow. My next door neighbor, she's an architect, she said, "Austin, aren't you sick and tired of this shoveling of the snow?" Her name is Claudia. I said, "Claudia, you know what? I'm not." She said, "Why?" "I'd rather have 6 inches of snow in front of my house than 45 inches of water in my house." or 45 feet of water. That's when tsunami was going on around the world. She had nothing to say. She said, you're absolutely right. Brethren, the reason I made that remark is it's all a matter of perspective. And when I was at Nigeria at the convention, there were about 85 brethren, barring the children, because unlike most countries, Nigerians do tend to have many children. I don't know why, especially with their poverty. But anyway, out of the 85 brethren, only two had jobs. And out of the two, one was not paid for 6 months. Okay, brethren? And the reason I brought that to your attention, when you have unemployment in the hovering in the range of 67%, you can imagine what kind of a situation that is. Ghana is not that bad in terms of it's up there. It's about 28 or 30% unemployment. But Nigeria was truly an eye-opener for me. So much so, when I came back, I felt very guilty to take my car for a wash. Because that $5, that's what we pay in New York. I don't know what you pay in California. But that $5 can sustain a family for a week worth of food. That $5 can sustain. So it gave me a sense of reality in terms of how we should not be complacent and then complain about simple things. And always remember, there's always food in the house to feed another mouth. That principle. And when I think of all of that, and the brethren, I mean, it was incredible to even have fellowship with them, in the sense that many in Nigeria at the convention, barring one or two, when I would ask them the question, tell me, what is your family like, or what is your personal life like? Invariably, very few of them would go into great details. They would say, yeah, it is, Lord is sustaining us. But this scripture you mentioned, what do you say about that? When you're going through that, brethren, to reflect back upon scriptural things which are high on our agenda, that is truly is difficult. And that's always, growing up, this remarks were made, the brethren in America, not many will make the calling election, sure. No way. Too much of comforts, they're not going to. On the same token, I would ask the same rhetorical question to them, saying, look at Solomon's prayer about when he said, Lord, don't give me too much, so I forsake you. Don't give me too little, so I profane your name. Give me my daily bread. So does that mean the calling, to make the calling election sure, poverty is a wonderful ingredient? If poverty is a criteria, brethren, I truly will say I'll move to Nigeria. I will, if that's a criteria for us to make our calling election sure. It is not. This calling is so high that it's not the riches, it's not the poverty. It's what do you do as a steward, which the Lord has given us. And each one of us, as Brother Paul Malley said, he's looking at your checkbook. Yeah, he's looking at your checkbook. And in my case, you always hear, what would have Jesus done if he was here? Right? You hear that question. That's not a very practical question, because when Jesus was here, there was no credit cards. You've got to keep that in mind in terms of perspective as to what is the spirit of that. What is the spirit of that? Because I remember a few kids we had in our New York class on one Sunday after the meeting was over, they wanted me to drop them because they wanted to see a movie. I said, fine. Next week when they came back, I asked them, so, tell me, how were you edified when you went to the movie? Oh, yes, I was very edified. I said, good, you should do it more often. Because if you're doing it, if it's being edifying, you should do it more often. And then after 2 weeks later, the answer came back saying, no, it wasn't edifying. So, if you ask that question to those youngsters, what would have Jesus done if he was here today? I did ask, look, there were no theaters when Jesus was here. That's maybe the answer you would get. But the point I'm making, brethren, is always to keep in mind the needs and the harvest work. The harvest work. If you don't want to seize on the opportunity which God gives you, guess what? The Lord is going to raise somebody else to accomplish His purpose. It does not matter. As Brother Paul Malley was talking about 10% minimum and so on and so forth, which is true. If you don't want to give, guess what? Somebody else will, and the Lord will accomplish His purpose. I ask an interest in your prayers that as Brother Paul Malley said, there are 2 millionaires next to me, that it's not millions, brethren. It's what do you do with what the Lord has given. And I'll be faithful and hopefully hear, well done, my faithful servant.
Thank you, Brother Austin. You had so many lessons there. I don't know where to begin, but perspective. You know, when you look at the perspective of what we have, and not to complain about what we don't have or our different circumstances. I think that's important. We've been blessed. We have a lot to be thankful for. Brother Paul.
Let's see. Paul Malley from the Groton, Groton Ecclesia in Connecticut. We never dreamed we would be in the translation business. The class as a project is attempting to translate the volumes into Italian. And we have members of our class that are very diligent and spend a lot of time, and they're going ahead with the translation, and we expect to have that done very shortly. Now, in addition, I've been going over to Africa like some of these brethren, Austin and Homer and so on. And I've made 2 visits to Ghana. I made 4 visits to Nigeria. And one of the things I've observed about them was that even though they could speak English, they can't handle the literary English. You know, Volume 1, I measured the level, the academic level of Volume 1. It's the 16th grade. That's a college graduate. So it occurred to us that if we put in some illustrations in there, we might be able to get these people in foreign lands a little more to understand. Well, we come out with the Illustrated Divine Plan. And so we've been we're under contract with Spanish. We're under contract with Indian. I think it's Tamil. Is that what they call it, Tamil, in India? We're under contract with French, and we're going to move ahead into contract into Romania and into Italian. Now, also, it occurred to me that, you know, we haven't done much in China. And here is the number one country in the world. Now, historically, I think in the days of Brother Russell, I think they translated a few chapters of the first volume in China. So it occurred to us that, hey, we want to get that whole thing translated. So we found somebody in Toronto who was willing to translate the first volume into Chinese, the Mandarin dialect. And so when we made that contact, I said, look, we want you to, we'll pay you, translate one chapter so we could test you and so forth. Well, what do I know about Chinese, you know, when they come in there? So he did. We had this individual that translated the sixth chapter of the first volume, and I said, send it to me. And I have a colleague at the university who is Chinese, and I asked her, I says, could you go through this? And I gave her the actual chapter 6, the actual in English, and the Chinese. I says, validate it. Is it good? And she said, yes. She says, it's very good. There's a few things here and there that I would make changes, but it's very good. So at last we got a breakthrough. We have somebody who's going to translate the first volume into Chinese. We have a proofreader, because I think my colleague there at the university is going to do it, of course, for a little money, you know. But we got a breakthrough, and our plan is, once it's translated to Chinese, we're going to advertise in Hong Kong, and we're going to advertise it in Beijing for this Chinese first volume, and the same to us, and we will send them the volume. So that's our plan, and we need your prayers to see that it gets done.
Thank you, Brother Paul. There's always many activities going on. I think we have a hand over here.
Yes.
And so we appreciate those efforts and keeping the brethren informed on that. So thank you very much for that update.
Mm-hmm.
Brother David and dear friends, I just want to say that we're very thankful to the Lord for his graciousness toward us, his mercy and his love, and for the opportunity we have of being at this convention. First of all,
What's your name in Ecclesia?
Brother Elias Mundell from the Southwest Bible Students Ecclesia. First of all, I want to make sure before I give the love of Brother Kent Humphreys graciously drove us to the bus station when we left, and he said, be sure to give the love of the entire Humphreys family, himself and Sister Christy, Brother Sean and Sister Melanie, and Brother Daniel. The entire Humphreys family sent their warmest Christian love to this convention. And I just wanted to say that I appreciate so much the talks we've had the last 2 days. They've been a real blessing. Especially appreciated Brother Peter Caravas' talk on the tabernacle last evening and Brother Michael Nicora's talk on light. I found that was a special blessing. I just wanted to say that it seems like every time I planned convention, going to a convention the last few years, I got very sick, or something came up just before departing, and I was losing so much money on airplane flights because you don't get the refund, your money back on them. That's why we went by bus this time. But I found and I've learned that if I go ahead and do it anyway, the Lord seems to bring the grace. I had a very bad back problem just fairly recently, and my sister badly scalded her hand just before our coming to this convention. But the Lord blessed us and gave us the grace so that we made it here. I also want to thank the Lord for our class in Arizona, the Southwest Bible students. They're a real blessing. They've been a wonderful blessing to us, and we're thankful to be a part of it. And we want to know that, and also it's been a real blessing seeing many of you in San Diego again and renewing acquaintances from past years. It's been such a blessing seeing all of you again. And we want to assure all of you our prayers on your behalf, and we ask an interest in your prayers. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Brother Elias. Certainly glad to have you here, and it shows perseverance that you're able to keep trying to come to the conventions and meet with the brethren. We appreciate that. Yes.
I'm Brother Lee Hicks from San Luis Obispo Ecclesia. First, I'd like to give my thanks to the Heavenly Father for permitting myself and my wife and my son, Bernard, to be present with the dear brethren here in San Diego this wonderful weekend. And I also like to bring the love of our Ecclesia. They send their warm Christian greetings. Also, I was told by Brother Charles Radica and Sister Elaine, his wife, to extend their greeting to the San Diego Ecclesia here, because they are, I understand at one time they was quite busy with this particular Ecclesia here. Also, I'd just like to mention a few things from Africa, since I and my wife will be departing around in January again to Ghana, which we have been going since 1999 each year. In the first year that we visit, of course my wife wasn't with me, it was to Nigeria in 1999. I find it so interesting to be able to travel to a foreign country each year and participate in uplifting and instructing the dear ones over there in that country who are thirsty and hungry for the truth. You know, I've met many of the brethren that Brother David Rice mentioned, that his late father, Brother Gilbert Rice, introduced to the truth. And I've also seen literature that they had and showed it to me. And a lot of them is still active today. But a lot of them also is not receiving any literature. And by the way, the convention that is ongoing this weekend in Ghana, in Dunkwa, that was our first visit to Ghana in 1999, I and Brother Homer and Brother Joe Dolan. And they sent their greeting. I just got a letter this week pertaining to that particular convention. They send their love to the dear brethren in America. The brethren in Africa is very interesting in the brethren in America, that they want the brethren in America to know that they are sharing the same hope and thoughts as we are here in America. And any time that you get an opportunity to send a greeting to them, correspondence of any type, it is so appreciated, very appreciated. It's like Brother Austin says, they are very impoverished. And as far as the 10% that Brother Mallett mentioned, and I think the Heavenly Father, that we have been fortunate enough to go to Ghana, because it is a great cost to go there. And the cost that we use is usually not a donation, it's out of our saving, which we have planned over the years to do this type of work. Also, in America here, I find that it's very interesting to witness to dear ones of not a part of our belief and our faith. I had a good opportunity just a few days ago. What we usually involve in is a little flea market in Carpinteria, California. Usually we participate there each month if we are at home. And I have a little stand and I put up some booklets. And these booklets is free. I put up a sign that says free booklets. And individuals come by and they pick them up and they look at them. Some of them read them. I find that I have regulars now. Each month they come and take booklets. So I usually send to Brother Nakor and to other brethren and get more. And the books go quite fast, you know. And I'm so happy that God has permitted I and my wife to participate in this witness work. And also, as far as our class in San Luis Obispo, we're trying now to set up a community program for Bible students in San Luis Obispo. This is, will be the witness program, and also a radio program in Bakersfield, California. So we're a small little ecclesia, about 12 of us altogether. 8 usually show up for meetings, and we're losing 2 of our dear brethren in April of next year, the Polish brethren that some of you have met. They're returning to Poland, so we're going to be short of 2 brethren, but I'm sure the Lord would overrule in all of the activity that we have there as far as brethren coming to that area to visit us, and maybe the Lord will send some other brethren that will have more in our class. So I ask the interest in your prayers as well. I keep you in mind. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brother Lee. We certainly appreciate the work that anyone can do, and that's a really fantastic work and a great sacrifice to go to Ghana and some of the other countries that are not so easily accessible. And so your efforts on behalf of all of us are very much appreciated. We have a booth that we do once a year at a state fair in Michigan, and we offer the booklets free also, and so many booklets go out. You never know where they're going to end up. Many times the one who picks them up isn't the one who receives the truth, it's someone else. And as Brother Austin was saying earlier, I'm wondering if we should tear the back covers off all these dons or whatever and let them fly around a little bit. But thank you for your testimony. Appreciate that. Brother Lance.
I'm sorry to take the extra time, brother, but I did want to bring love from our Ecclesia, Delaware Valley Bible students. Also special love from George and Ruth Eldridge, who George is recovering still from a stroke he had last December, still not able to lead meetings or even get there all the time, but he is doing better. Just had recently had cataract surgery as well. And also love from my sister, Virginia Lumley, and my brother-in-law, Ray Lumley, in Jackson, Michigan, want a special love sent. I did want to testify to one blessing we've had in our class relating to witness efforts, and we've had recently one ex-Jehovah Witness join our class, and we've had another one that really came on to us through out of Springfield, Missouri, joining us on our conference call that we broadcast. And he is, the reason I mention it is because he has really made an amazing turnaround since he started meeting with us. He was 25 years in witnesses, was a pioneer, and he has became very disgruntled with the witnesses. When he first joined us, he was a very harsh individual, and he said, excuse me, you know, I've had 25 years of really being treating people badly, as he put it. And he said, now he's learned the love that the truth gives, and he's read now all of Pastor Russell's writings, and he's found a whole new avenue for himself that he didn't before. Recently, I've had a conversation with him last week. He is now he wants to engage in a colporting effort in the town of Springfield, Missouri, to go door to door. He and his wife are really giving out booklets and presenting the truth. And he's determined he's going to start an ecclesia in Springfield, Missouri, because there isn't anything close there. And he even sent me, he's on a big telephone witnessing effort. But I think it's a testimony to the fact that we have many out there who have longed for the truth, especially some of those that were formerly associated with Jehovah's Witnesses. But it's been a real blessing for us. And he said he has many, many friends who have been disfellowshipped that he'd like to have join in our studies. And I said, well, maybe we better have separate studies with that, because I'm not sure the brethren in our class could handle all that. But I think it is really, again, a testimony, and I express the same thing everyone else did, that sharing the truth and making sure it goes out, we never know what avenues come our way. And this has been a great blessing, especially for me, since it's given opportunity recently with the difficulties in our class, I haven't been able to travel as much to some of the conventions that we'd like to, but it's a blessing now to have this opportunity really to maybe work a little more one-on-one with individuals who are looking at sharing the truth. So I wanted to express that to you, brethren, and remember our class in your prayers. We have a great many health problems and some real challenges and difficulties in our class right now that requires a lot of pastoral effort and understanding and help with some of our brethren. So we appreciate all the time, those of you that could think of us in prayers. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Lenny. You know, that reminds me, you know, with the, you mentioned the JWs. I think you're correct that perhaps that may be an opportunity for us as we look out there for opportunities to witness. The JW organization, I may be wrong, but it appears to be getting harsher and harsher and harsher, and there are a lot of disgruntled ones there, and I think that there's an opportunity there, because there's some there that really do have a desire to serve the Lord. This is an organization that where the people really do, you know, love the Lord, and they may be a bit misdirected, so there may be some opportunities there. So I appreciate you mentioning that. Now, okay, we have a testimony over here, but before you testify, I want to see if there's how many others' hands that perhaps we've missed that I haven't seen. Is there any others? Okay, we have another testimony here, Brother Bob. Okay, go ahead, Brother Jeff.
My name is Jeff Needle, and I'm a friend of the San Diego Collegiate. And I just wanted to say very, very briefly how grateful I am to them and to everybody who I've met here this weekend. There is such a wonderful extended family to have. I'm just so very grateful for everything that they've done for me and for the welcome that I felt and for the love that I feel from everybody here. So please accept my thanks for that.
Thank you for that testimony, Brother Jeff. We appreciate you being here, and we appreciate your input. I know I've talked to you. This is the first time I've had an opportunity to talk with you, and I've enjoyed it very much. So thank you. Brother Bob.
I'm Brother Bob Wilson from the Fresno, California Ecclesia.
And I was commissioned to bring the love of the brethren from Fresno, all eight of our class. Only two of us are here out of eight. That's six at home. But they sent it with this scripture, Ephesians 1:18, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling." So they send that message with their love. And aside from that, I wanted to say that Sister Jenny and I have been delighted to be here to enjoy this convention and to again have fellowship with so many. We haven't gotten out this year quite as much because of a medical problem that has kept us from being able to make all the conventions that we'd hoped to. And it's working out now that we hope to get back into stride. But we do plan to have a convention in Fresno, and the convention programs are on the back table there. And that'll be a pre-memorial convention next April. Well, it's the last day of March and the first 2 days of April. So you're all invited to that and pick up a program, if you will. And aside from that, I'd like to say that the brethren at the retirement center would like to have their love sent here. We were there for the board meeting 2 weeks ago, and after which they had a fellowship meeting with the other classes in the area. But the brethren at the center's doing well. It's full. And although we did just lose one of the residents last week.
Doris.
Sister Doris Lorenz, yes. She finished her course. So we're not quite full. But anyhow, we're grateful for the brethren's support. And there are on the table back here, free. Take one. If you may have gotten one in the mail, but with these DVDs about the origins of the center. It's a lovely job that was done on that. So you're welcome to take one of those. There's also the newsletters for the current newsletter that just came out 2 weeks ago, and also the one preceding that. And there's also some of those postcards if you'd like to take those of the center. So we ask an interest in your prayers, and we pray for all of you, and we love you, and we're so grateful to the San Diego Brethren for putting on this convention. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Bob. Appreciate your update on the retirement center. You know, that's more work that's being done by the brethren, and it's a good work for those that can go to a center like that. So we appreciate that work. And it's nice to see you. I've known you for a long time, and I haven't seen you in a while, so it's nice to see you. Any other testimonies? We may have time for one testimony or maybe two short ones. Sir.
If you don't mind, I won't stand up. I'll make this one of the short ones. I'll speak for Steve, too, I'm sure.
Who are you?
Oh, Betty Mingos. I'm from the Southwest Bible Students in Arizona. First thought is that we're very happy and grateful to have Elias and Alethea among us. They are a real blessing to our class. One of my favorite scriptures is 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. It's God's wonderful chain letter, you might say, because as many of you know, recently we have been recipients of such a deluge of love and communication from brethren when Steve was ill with his recent problem. And that's part of our Lord's cure, is the attention and love and sympathy and comfort of our brethren. And I know there isn't any among us who isn't hurting in some way or having some problem, big or small. But I think in Hebrews it talks about two do good and communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifice, God is well pleased. Communicate, of course, is what we've talked about here, is not only communication of telephone calls and emails and everything, but it's also sharing, which a lot of our convention has touched upon. And I want to also express our appreciation for all this convention, and it's been a real chewy one. Really thoughts that you can really, that you want to get your teeth into and put into practice. And God bless you all. I love you all. And I pray for all the comfort that you need be given to you as well.
Thank you, Sister Betty. I really appreciate that testimony. So many of our testimonies, at least today, they seem to be very uplifting, and we have to keep in mind, we have to remember that a lot of us are going through some experiences, difficulties, illnesses, we can't get out, but it's so nice to remember the brethren and the support that the brethren can give in time of need. We all depend on that, and we all appreciate that. And so thank you for that testimony. Appreciate that. With that, I think we'll turn it back over to the chairman here. Unless we have a hymn that someone would like to close with a testimony. Was there another one?
John.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Brother. Well, most of you know me, Brother John Harris from Tucson. It's actually fitting that Brother Dan and Sister Tammy Wesley are here with this testimony that I'm going to try to get out properly, because they have been part of my witnessing and through testimony ever since I basically started with the Albuquerque Convention from probably about 93 to 98. You can find several testimonies from me. I learned a lot of things from testimonies from the different brethren, their courage, their wisdom, their strength, their prayer life, their abilities to function under great diverse positions of adversity and comfort and even joys and successes. So I like to share. Sometimes when you go through trials, a trial may be 15 years in the making. Sometimes it may be a year in the making. Sometimes they overlap. Sometimes they're trials are coming from the world, and sometimes from loved ones in the truth. You just never know where your trials and difficulties are going to come from. But the one thing that I have found in the course of my trials is I can always trust the Lord, no matter what. One of the trials that I went through recently, I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I've mulled it over. Why don't I see a result? Why are my prayers not being answered? Why? And I wrestle with my thoughts to try to keep my heart pure. And then I find out wonderfully with great joy that the overruling of the Lord, things are happening that I didn't know about. He's permitting things to happen which ultimately will fulfill this trial that I've been going through. The long 15-year trial has come to an end with my wife. She's treating me like a husband, a wonderful husband that I've always been wanted to be treated like. But I'm going to tell you, brethren, the way that it came about for a close was more painful than probably the whole 15-year ordeal. So sometimes when the Lord answers your prayers, be ready to make sure you stand on the vows that you've made as a Christian, because it's going to test you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother John. We all want to learn from each other, and so it's these testimonies that bring us together and allow us to sometimes learn from each other. And, there's a lot of different things that we can learn about. And so, again, I trust the Lord. That's true. And a lot of times our prayer life You know, it takes a long time for our prayers to be answered, but sometimes the Lord makes us wait. We have to wait on the Lord, and He knows what's best for us, and sometimes it's difficult. And so we appreciate that testimony. Thank you. Brother Brad.
Sometimes the kids come in when we're making dinner, and they get a little dessert before dinner. You know, sneak a little bit of sweet. Well, I think that's maybe what we've just had. A little bit of, because we're a little bit over, but we've had a little bit of dessert just before breaking for dinner. We'd like to thank Brother David for leading our meeting. Thank you, Brother John, for doing the microphone service. And while we're saying thank you, we'd like to thank the a special effort was put out for some of the young adults setting up the video portion of our meeting so it can go over the internet. And it was very much last minute, and it came out beautifully. The website and the efforts very much appreciated and very successful. So thank you for your efforts at the back table. There's probably no need for this, but there will be a practice for the Vesper singing. And that will be at 6:30. So please, those who are participating in the choral singing, please meet here at 6:30 after you've eaten. Now, we would like to close with a hymn, and I think given the time, we'll maybe just sing the first and the last. But if somebody has a choice of a testimony, Sister Terry? Okay, hymn 238. Why don't we sing the first and the last verse? We'll rise on the last verse, and then Brother David will dismiss us with prayer and ask a blessing on the evening meal. 238.
Heavenly Father, again we come before Thee with praise on our hearts, praise to You for all the countless blessings that Thou givest to us. We thank Thee for them. We ask that You'd continue to keep us in the hollow of Thy hand, guide and direct our affairs, and allow us to learn from each other. We ask a special blessing on those who have testified today, and all those who have testified in their heart about some difficulties and trials that they may be going through. Be with them, bless them according to Thy purpose. We ask a blessing now on our evening meal, that the food will be a nourishment to us, that we might serve Thee better. And we give all praise and honor and glory to Thee through the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.